Yeah, Schaefer plays that one about three times a morning because it had to do with the Steelers. Welcome back to the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. Yes.
What did I do to you over the weekend?
No, I'm just saying. Wow.
Sideswipe.
Sensitive about Pittsburgh?
No. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I love Coach Vrabel.
You got to embrace it. That's true.
Oh, I do. Coach is the best. Except when he's wrong.
Welcome back, 104.5 The Zone. This is the Wake Up Zone.
I even played Metallica for you, Kevin.
I like it. Big fan. Happy to have with us Tyler Report. Wrote the story, What Happened in Green Bay, about the relationship or lack thereof between Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy, the former coach. Tyler, good morning. We appreciate you joining us here.
Good morning, guys. Thanks so much for having me on to discuss it all. And
absolutely.
Always good to connect with the greatest city on earth, for sure.
There you go. Were you surprised at how many former Packers players were willing to go on the record and talk about their experiences there?
A little bit. I mean, that's kind of when the light bulb goes off because, you know, I knew this was a sensitive subject. You're trying to find information that the team doesn't want out, right? And again and again and again, players, coaches, scouts describe it as a quote-unquote bubble at 1265 Lombardi Avenue. I mean, very rarely does anything get out of there. So, former players, they leave. They get to a point where they're confident on looking back and engaging and offering their insight. And yeah, I guess when Greg Jennings is making a point to talk about this all as he's, you know, running through an airport, I think he was, and we talked for an hour or whatever it was. Yeah, that light bulb goes off, and I'm grateful that they did open up. And yeah, there's a lot of players that wanted to talk off the record, or I should say without their name attached. But I feel like that information still needed to get out one way or another in their minds, and hopefully this painted a picture of what the heck happened in Green Bay.
How hard was it to confirm that Aaron Rodgers' issues with McCarthy went all the way back to that draft when San Francisco chose Alex Smith and McCarthy was there?
Yeah, I mean, that just comes down to talking to teammates that were around then, talking to people close to the quarterback that were around then. And I think Ryan Grant kind of put it best. I mean, right on the record, he put his name to it. We were talking, I just asked Ryan, you know, when did you see that this wasn't going to work out? When was that breaking point? I'm thinking he'd say, I never saw it, because he was a Packer through 2012. And instead, he went the other direction. He went earlier. He said it was right away, basically, when he got there. And he got there and when Brett Favre is still the quarterback. So I think that's probably what surprised me the most, is there was some animosity early on, and that animosity only grew over time. As we wrote, I mean, he's calling people close to him, complaining about his own coach when they're successful, which is wild. And it only got worse, and nobody really stepped in. I mean, that's kind of the overriding problem here, is that Ted Thompson, the GM, he built a winner that went to the playoffs 8 years in a row, which is great, but he kind of missed the forest from the trees in terms of the relationship between the head coach and the quarterback.
From Bleacher Report, Tyler Dunn is our guest, wrote the story, What Happened in Green Bay.
Well, Tyler, it brings in a question, I guess, leadership skills from all parties, coach, head coach, or head coach at quarterback, as well as the GM. How did you see their leadership skills? And they still were winning.
Number one, I mean, that was probably another huge takeaway here, right? I mean, you've got a quarterback that's a Hall of Famer. I mean, talent-wise, there's zero arguing with how good Aaron Rodgers is. And Mike McCarthy, when he had the talent on his team, was one of the better coaches in the NFL. I mean, there's a reason that they were contending every year. But Mike McCarthy never was this great leader of men. At least that's how players described it. They said, look, even the ones who liked Mike McCarthy, like Ryan Grant, said we kind of self-police. We had leaders at every position who would speak up if somebody got out of line. So the head coach never really had to step in. And Aaron Rodgers was young then, you know, not necessarily in a role where he needed to speak up and snap guys out of it and lead with his voice, and more so just lead by his actions and being an MVP quarterback. But over time, I think Ted Thompson, in drafting and developing and trying to get rid of guys a year or two early before their skills would diminish, I think he underestimated the power of leaders in that room. A TJ Lang, a Josh Sitton on the offensive line, a B.J. Raji on the D-line. You know, he can even go to Charles Woodson. Maybe they should have kept him around another year. I mean, he was such a great leader in that room. I think that we tend to look at these football players as robots and look at statistics and forget that you got to you got to have that glue. And they had that glue to held those guys together. So get rid of all these guys. Aaron Rodgers was thrust into a bigger leadership role. Not natural for him. And now he's 35 years old. He's been around longer than anybody. He's got to be that leader, whether he likes it or not. And I'm not so sure he wants to just embrace that with open arms.
Man, where does this sit then, I guess, with Rodgers leading forward to LaFleur? How do you think this is going to work?
Boy, maybe I should ask you guys that, right?
I don't know if we know. I think as long as Rodgers, he does what Rodgers says, I think everything will be great.
I tell you what, LaFleur is going to have the support of management. He's going to have the support of the team president, you know, a de facto owner, whatever you want to call it, Mark Murphy. Obviously, the fans, quote unquote, own the team. He's got that organizational weight behind him right now, anyways, which is great. But let's not forget, Aaron Rodgers signed the richest deal in NFL history. Money talks. He's the man in charge. He's the one that really is going to have to look into the mirror, make those subtle, small sacrifices that Greg Jennings said. It's not like this guy has to just turn into a game manager and throw the ball 15 times a game. But maybe you do have to play within an offense a little bit more than he has. And granted, maybe Rodgers had a point. Maybe he had to railroad this offense. Maybe it did go stale, and he had no choice but to play Superman. But now you've got to buy in to a coach who's going to be bringing a much more innovative offense. I think the offensive coordinator, Nate Hackett, is a type A. I think that he's going to bring a lot of energy to that room. And I think Luke Getsy, the quarterback's coach, is a straight shooter. So you've got the mechanism here for a turnaround, for him to be rejuvenated, reinvigorated. Will he? I don't know. We'll find out.
Tyler, the other really perceptive thing that I think you wrote in the article was the Packers could have been the Patriots 2.0, or they could have been their NFC version of a dynasty. They certainly should have won more than one Super Bowl. And that lays at the feet, obviously, of Ted Thompson and McCarthy, and to some degree, you know, maybe Rodgers.
Totally, totally. And I get it. I can see why some other Packer players would be defensive and stick up for their guys, as they should, and say that they won a lot of games. They accomplished a lot. I mean, they did. This is an era of Packers football that will be looked back on fondly years from now. But I think that's the shame of it all. I mean, they were so close year after year after year to go 15-1 and not win a Super Bowl, to get tasered by Colin Kaepernick in back-to-back postseason, to lose to Seattle in that NFC Championship game the way they did, to lose the Falcons in an NFC Championship game with the defense just getting shellacked. It's to get that close again and again and again. That's kind of why we wrote this story. I think there's frustration in a lot of players. There's missing rings here, and they're not going to forget it, and they're looking back on it. And I think that's maybe why so many guys did want to open up and did want to talk about this, is that they have a chance to kind of wrap their minds around that frustration.
The other thing, too, is how damaged now is Mike McCarthy going into the trying to get another job moving forward?
You know, I get it. I know a lot of folks talking about the anecdote on the massages in his office during offensive meetings, and how often did he do that exactly? I don't know if anybody outside of him really knows, but it did tick some guys off. Bigger than that, though, it's the X's and O's. It's an offense that seemed to just get lapped by the rest of the NFL, or at least the smart head coaches in the NFL. So I think that's where he has some proving to do, because there are a lot of ex-Packers all over the league. I mean, Cleveland, you've got several personnel guys, several scouts, and Kansas City, obviously, before that. And, I mean, all over the place. I mean, the Jets were interested in him. Yet word seems to be getting out that this offense just got stale, and he's going to have to adjust. And if you don't adapt, you die. And he didn't adapt. So that's where he's going to have to sit in a room with the GM and convince somebody that, look, what I did work, but I'm willing to change and adapt. And I just never really did in Green Bay, and it cost them.
Tyler, fascinating stuff. Thank you so much for the time this morning.
Hey, you got it, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, we'll see you later. That's Tyler Dunn with Bleacher Report. It's a really good read if you get a chance about the Green Bay Packers, what happened in Green Bay and the relationship between Aaron Rodgers and former coach Mike McCarthy.